what I want to share this afternoon is titled The Call to Witness. And I'm just really excited. I was really fueled this morning with just the message of running through paper walls. If you didn't hear that this morning, you need, when you get home today, you just need to go online and start your day over again and get back to this morning service of running through paper walls. And it was beautiful to just hear, just again, just how we can feel so restricted because of what the enemy wants us to believe. But if we follow the coach, as Pastor Carter said, coach says, let's go, we're going to the field. And you just run through that paper wall. And I'm just so excited to now come before you and teach on simply the call to witness. I feel like this afternoon I almost get to be the offensive coordinator now that you've ran through your paper walls and now that you step out on the field. And I get to talk to you a little bit about, you know, now that you're out there, now what do you do? You know, it's amazing how we can get really excited, feel very zealous, and you go charging out of here, and then you're, yeah, praise the Lord, and then, now what? what exactly do I say? And it's amazing. I mean, we're all guilty of it at times. Well, sometimes it's easy to get our worship on, but it's very hard to get our witness on. You know, with the hustle and bustle of life and just everything that's going on. But there is a call. There's a call to witness. We all have that call. There aren't some that are called to come into the house of the Lord and just get their worship on. No, we've all been called to step out and to be a witness. To be a witness of good news, to be a witness of Jesus, to be a witness of truth. I want to take a journey with you and just see how the Lord leads us and what I'm able to get through. And here it is. Acts 1, verse 8. I just want to establish this, and I want to encourage you to take notes, all right? Take notes, whether you're taking it on your phone or just pencil, pad, old school, however. But take notes so that you can revisit this through the week. This is why we've established this teaching service, that you all would be able to take this, study this, dwell on it, and ask the Holy Spirit just to lead you as he takes you further into what the Word reveals to you. Amen? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I love this. This is Jesus speaking right here that says, you will be my witnesses. Not some of you, there'll be different things. It's a direct order saying, you will be. It's not asking you, would you like to be? No, Jesus says, you will be. And you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I like that. I'd like to put it in contemporary words for us. And you will be my witnesses in Brooklyn and Manhattan and Staten Island and Long Island and the Bronx and to the end of the earth. And praise God. We have a church here that is very missional, living out this very commissioning that comes from God. And this afternoon, I wanted to take time and study a little bit more just and rest. But my son called me on the phone. He goes, Dad. And I said, hey, what's up? He was like, where are you? I'm just studying. I'm chilling out. You know, I use the word chill with my son. He's 13. And it makes me cool points. Anyway. No, Dad, he says. I've got a 1 o'clock meeting, my missions trip this summer. Oh, all right, I'll come, you know? And I'm just thinking, you know, I wanted to put some more time in. Then I go upstairs to the third floor, and I'm standing in the back of this wonderful meeting of us as a church raising up young people to be a witness. That at an early age, we've got middle schoolers now. That's, some of y'all know, that's some type of age bracket. But we got middle schoolers that are being raised up to be a witness. To not just be a witness here in the city, but to be a witness all over the country and overseas. And my heart just kind of leaped in that moment and just rejoicing knowing that our children are being raised up to understand that this is a message for them. Not just the middle schooler, but the teenager. Not just the teenager, but the young adult. Not just the young adult, but the adults. and we've all got a mission, and we've all got a calling, and that is to be a witness. And so speaking about that, man, we should have some people after today signing up for missions for next year, the rest of the year. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. I just want to read this passage of scripture, and then I'm going to jump over to 1 John chapter 5 to really establish some things that I want to share with you. John chapter 18, beginning with verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And this is Jesus after he's been arrested, going through this time of trial. And here is Pilate in his headquarters. I find that very funny to me personally when I think about who Jesus is, who came down from his headquarters in heaven and made himself flesh. And here Pilate says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" For me, meaning simply this, is this, Pilate, is this something that you've been trying to figure out? Or is there a witness about me? What are people saying about me? What are they talking about? And verse 35, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And then verse 38, Pilate says to him, "What is truth?" Stop right there. I'm going to stop reading, and I'm going to jump over to 1 John chapter 5, 6 through 10. Now, we're going to revisit this. But it's interesting. We come to 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. The scripture says, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree." Now in verse 9, "If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he who has born concerning his Son, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself." One of the things I realized that as I've been looking at this, that in order for us to be able to testify, to be able to be a witness out, you've got to understand the witness within. I said this to Pastor Carter in the back. I love his response to this. He said, "Exactly. That means you need to know what's up." I had that delay too. Oh, yes. In order for you to have a witness within, you need to be able to have a witness as to what's up. And if you know what's up, then you know what's within you. And in order for you to know how to do out, to go forward and to be a witness, there's got to be an understanding of the witness that is within you. Because if you can understand the witness that is within you, then there becomes such a freedom to witness out. But it begins us to knowing what's up. Can I get a witness? So I looked at this situation as Jesus is here before Pilate having this interesting conversation. And here is Pilate not knowing what the truth is. And I bounced over to what John says later on in his letter here, that the Spirit is the truth. And looking at these witnesses on earth and in heaven that represent who Jesus is. And it is something that is supposed to be within us if you believe in God. If you believe in God. It's going to make all the difference when you step out, because it'll be something that you don't do in your own strength. It's everything that you do in the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's the first thing I want to look at. Jesus, the faithful witness. Revelation 1 verse 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood." You've got to know from the very beginning that Jesus, the Son of God, first thing, loves us and has freed us. You don't have a witness if you don't know that you're loved by Jesus Christ. And you're free. Man, sometimes the idea of walking out this calling to witness is so difficult because we feel like we have to understand some type of furthermore theology and be doctrinally sound. There's no theology and doctrine that comes with just knowing who Jesus is as the faithful witness. He loves you and he sets you free. Let's begin right there as a witness on the train, at the corner store, in the neighborhood. How easy is that? That in this calling to be a witness, I can step out and just say to somebody, hey, you're loved. Jesus loves you. Oh, and he sets you free. He let me tell you, he's the beginning and the end. He's God. His kingdom's not like ours. We've got a lot of faults and flaws. But Jesus, his kingdom reigns forever. He's in all authority. It says this. Here's my second point under Jesus, the faithful witness. Jesus says in Matthew 28, 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. His father gave it to him. His father gave him all power and all authority. We've got to know that. Now, watch this. 1 John 4, 4 says this. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, this is awesome. And understanding the witness within you, the one who loves you, the one who sets you free. For me to be able to walk and be and move forward in this calling to be a witness. He loves you. He has set us free. Now, my Bible says this, that Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, with that type of authority, it is amazing for me to understand this, that this very person, Jesus, who has all of this authority, dwells inside of me. That's what makes him greater than anything else in the world. Greater is he. And I love this. We've got to understand something. Scripture calls us, it refers to us as little children. See, don't get ahead of God. I'm going to come back to something in Acts chapter 1, but sometimes we don't want to be referred to as little children. You can call me little child any day, especially when I know that Jesus dwells within me and I have the greatness, the power, and the authority of Jesus Christ. This is the authority that we walk in as we are called to be a witness, to step out. That makes it so much easier if we walk in faith of knowing that we have this great authority that dwells in us as his children. The authority that gives me the power to speak up and say to someone on the train, hey, I just want you to know, my Jesus who saved my life, he loves you and he can set you free. How often do we see people crying on the train? All the time. How often do we see people distraught, upset, lost, disheveled? Each and every time I see somebody like that, that is an opportunity for you and I to be a witness to those that are lost, to those that are hopeless. Let's keep moving along. Jesus, the faithful witness. Here's my second point. The witness of water. The witness of water, as we read in 1 John chapter 5. This is really interesting to me because water obviously has many symbolic things through Scripture. It's such a strong emblem. But we begin with this understanding of the witness of water with, again, the faithful witness that we have in Jesus Christ, who was baptized by John the Baptist. I mean, here he is. I mean, Pastor William preached this one time so wonderfully. But it is amazing to recognize that Jesus didn't need to be baptized because he was a holy God. He was and he is. He did no sin. But he chooses to be baptized to be able to identify with us, to be in communion with us, and to fulfill all righteousness. This is huge, this witness of water, that when Jesus would show up, he would demonstrate to us and he would walk out a life that we couldn't walk out. all of these years, up until the point where he comes to get baptized. He lived a holy life. And when his ministry began, it was spotless. I can't testify about that. But we have Jesus. Now, I keep going back to Jesus because this is the one who dwells within us. This is the one with all authority and all power. This is the one who loves us and has set us free. Jesus. And so what we get right here now is this witness of water to recognize that Jesus, baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus who begins his ministry, Jesus who identifies with us. We have this high priest who cannot identify with our infirmities. With all points, he's been tested and tempted, but without sin. We have Jesus Christ who brings to you and I purity of life, rivers of life. We have Jesus Christ that introduces to us living water. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, I'm just going to read this chapter. I love it. Scripture says, "You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away." Can I get a witness? "That you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." Now I love this. Verse 3, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Make known, sing praises to the Lord," in verse 5, "for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known," where? Not just in New York City, in all the earth. "Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." Praise God. Praise God. Listen, this is very important to me. We look back at verse 3. "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name." You will draw water from the wells of salvation. There's a point that I want to make here underneath this witness of water. Drawing water from the well. When we draw water from the well, there's a few other points that I want you to understand in this. When we draw water from the well of salvation, this is living water. This is eternal. This well of salvation never runs out. Remember, he met the Samaritan woman one day and he said, "Look, if you drink that little bottle of Polystream water, you're gonna always be thirsty. But if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. And you'll be able to draw from this well forever." This is eternal, right? That which is within us is eternal. This drawing water from the well, it's the strength that you find in Christ eternally, forever. There's no certain day where you're walking out in your faith, you feel strong today, and then all of a sudden, you know how sometimes we're quick to go, I don't feel real strong today. I just think I'm just going to stay at home. Well, for you and I who are walking in the faith, that gives off the idea as if the well ran dry. As if the well of salvation has just come to its end. The strength that we find in Christ, it's forever and ever until we join him in heaven. It washes away fear. The fear of being a witness, the fear of talking about Jesus, the fear of being able to testify about his goodness. That fear, that hesitancy that we have sometimes when you know it's boiling up in your soul and you know you're supposed to turn to that person on the left or the right and tell them that Jesus loves you, he set you free. Anybody have that moment where your heart starts beating real fast and then you think that your heart's beating fast telling you no, you shouldn't do it? What that is your heart beating fast submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit saying, yes, you need to speak up. Because this well of salvation that you and I have, that we've found in faith in Christ Jesus, it never runs out. It never runs out. Strength in Christ washes away fear, purified by grace. Acts 4:33 says this, and with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The great grace and great grace and great grace was upon them all. In Titus 2:14, it says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. The zeal to do what is good, the zeal to be a witness, the zeal to share your faith comes out of you and I, knowing that the power comes from Jesus Christ within us, who his glory, the living water that we drink from never runs out. It's the endurance that we need today, the perseverance that we've been called to. We say it over and over again, Sunday after Sunday, we're in a very dark season. It's a very dark time. Well, I tell you, this is time to draw from the well, church. It's time to draw from the well. It's time to recognize now that we have strength in Christ Jesus to proclaim the name of our Savior. It's time to know that we are that Jesus Christ and all of his power that dwells within us, he who has all authority in heaven and on earth, he wipes away our fear, he washes that out. And we have grace that sustains us, that keeps us, that purifies us. Oh, that well that swells up within me, that living water. It's time to go and to walk forward and to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Once we draw water from the well, then two, there's a flowing out from the heart. We know this, John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his heart. Man, that illustration is so refreshing to me, right? For some of us too, for me personally, who at one point in my life, I was dried out. Being a preacher's kid, growing up in church, I was totally dried out. I thought I was done. I was like, what can I witness about? I'm dried out. The Lord really dealt with my heart. What do you mean you're dried out? Have you asked for my forgiveness in tears? I was like, yeah, I did. Have you repented? Have you really repented? Yeah, I did. All right. Well, then there you go. There's living water now flowing through you. Don't allow the enemy to take your joy. Don't allow the enemy to convince you that there's no living water flowing through you. Don't allow the enemy to convince you that God's well runs dry. Never. It's living water. God doesn't lie. If he tells the woman that, listen, when you drink from my well, you'll never thirst again. That obviously means that the well never runs dry. He's telling the entire world that, and you and I have been called to be a witness of that. For so many that are out there on our streets, for so many that are in our homes and in our neighborhoods that are thirsty and dried out, can't figure out why, no matter what they try, it's not satisfying. Well, let me tell you about the well of salvation. And I can't resist because it's just what? It's just overflowing through within my heart. It's just pouring through. It's overflowing. It's spilling out onto the street. And I can't resist telling you about who Jesus is. The testimony of the blood. We have Jesus, the faithful witness, the witness of water. We have the testimony of the blood. Some of us, we love that one. Testimony of the blood gets us shouting. Three things about the testimony of the blood, and I'm gonna move it along here. One, we are justified. Romans 5:9. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall be saved by him from the wrath of God. I'm no longer condemned. I'm no longer sitting in the guilty seat. I've been saved. I've been justified by the blood. We are justified. Two, we are redeemed. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Praise God. Psalm 107:2. I read it out of the New Living Translation because I like the way it says this. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. Speak out. Are you redeemed? Remember, I said to you all earlier, I said, everybody's got a testimony. I've been redeemed. What is that? What does that mean? I've been redeemed, which means I've been bought back. I've returned. I'm returned back to my rightful place with my Father in heaven. I am redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. My redemption wasn't something that I figured out or worked out. This is me being a witness to you right now. It's practice. I'm redeemed. I'm changed. I'm restored back unto my rightful place in a kingdom that will never end. This is all going to pass away. Hey, friend. Hey, cousin. Hey, brother. Would you like to be a part of a family that will never end? It's just going to go on and on and on. This earth will pass away, but you need to be redeemed. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. His blood that was shed on Calvary, not my blood. I didn't have to die. Jesus stepped in my place and he redeemed me through his blood. That gives me, here's my third point under the testimony of the blood. That makes me victorious. Revelation 12, 11. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their for they love not their lives even unto death. I'm going to stop right there. And I get to do this again next Sunday. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about the witness of the Holy Spirit and how suddenly from the witness of the Holy Spirit, we just, in the power of the Holy Spirit, now we just go out. We know what's up. We know what's within. Now we just go out. And I want to talk to you about what that looks like. But listen to me. Listen, we believe this, that we're victorious because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we speak the word. It's the word of our testimony, right? And we dare not love our lives. Well, that what that really means is this, that you and I were called to witness. The reason why we dare not love our lives is because we are a witness. Because understand this, the word witness in the original Greek origin, it means martis. The word martis means martyr. What martyr means, it's simply this, being willing to lay down your life for what you believe in. Which means, as Paul said, no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives inside of me. Which means, yes, I accept this call to be a witness because I am a martyr for Christ. And I'm going to step out and do it because in my own flesh, I won't do it. In my own flesh, the cousin that has been living in sin for so long, I dare not give him a call. He's going to think I'm absolutely crazy. My father, who I barely have a relationship with, who I might see in passing from time to time. I'm still angry, I'm still bitter. But it's no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives inside of you. If you are a martyr, if you are a witness. And the blood of Jesus has set you free in such a way that you are willing to forgive. And you won't hesitate. You won't hesitate to share the name of Jesus Christ. Because I'm dead. Who am I? All I want to do is just carry the cross and follow Jesus. That's all I want to do. Because if I carry this cross right now and follow my Jesus, if I try to hold on to my life, I'm going to lose it. If I lay down this life, I'm going to find something that's so good. It's Jesus Christ. It's the cross that has redeemed me. Set me free. We need more martyrs. I'll close with this. A couple of years back, well, many years back, I had taken a missions team to Oslo, Norway. And it was with Nikki Cruz and a wonderful group of young people, about 10 of them that I was with. And we had worked all year just learning how to be evangelists, learning how to be a witness, learning how to talk about Jesus. And this one particular day, we would do outreaches all throughout the city of Oslo. And if anybody knows anything about Oslo, Norway, it's quite the melting pot. Not everybody there is 6'6", blonde hair, blue eyes. So we happened to come into a particular community that they were all Middle Easterners, strong Muslim community. Actually, the report that we'd been given, it was a strong militant community. And the police would not go with us to this community for us to share the gospel. They just told Nikki Cruz and our team, they said, if you guys want to do this spot, you go ahead, but we're not. Because at times, they would accompany us for safety. We said, we're going. We're going. We're just going to go. And so I remember the van pulling up, and I kept everybody in there, and I shared this thing about being a witness to this group of young people. I said, listen, if you get out of this car right now, it is because you've realized that you're not simply just going to talk about Jesus. You're going to lay down your life for Jesus Christ in this moment. That's how much we know to love him and that he loves us and he set us free. Freedom is not just within this body. I am free. I'm living forever. I said, so if you're not quite sure about what it is to be a martyr, stay in the van. If you want to come out and you know what it is to be a martyr, well, we're going to go out in the street. We're going to do some music. We're going to testify. We're going to be a witness, and we're going to see what God does. Everybody got out the van. Now, listen. Everyone got out the van. We did a couple of songs. Oh, it was dead quiet. Shared our testimonies. No hallelujah corner in this street. Matter of fact, the most interesting thing happened, because I'll never forget, you know, we just were anticipating maybe anything can happen. I remember somebody from the crowd on the street, just threw a stuffed teddy bear. It was about that big. And I was in the middle of, you know, doing my songs and stuff like that, and it just hit me in the side of the head. And I said, oh, Lord, that's weird. But after the music stopped, I just really stepped out. And the Lord just said, he just gave me a peace just to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, who I know loves me, and he has set me free. And Jesus is, he's Savior, he's King. I said this, he rules in heaven and on earth. And if you'd like prayer, I'd love to pray with you. And now, in that community, nobody goes forward. It's just, even culturally, you just didn't do that. But then I just said, well, if you'd like prayer, maybe just slip your hand up. You saw these, just three or four hands just go up. I remember looking over and I saw a father who was with a little child, and he told me to come here, just clearly a Muslim. So I go over to him, keep the mic away, and he just asked me to get a little closer. So he just whispers to me, he goes, I'm a Muslim. I believe in Allah. He goes, but my son here, he's 5. He's very sick. Will you pray to your God for his salvation? Oh, man. The witness within will birth an authority and a power within you to do some things out. Oh, my Jesus. That's the game plan. All right, you've ran through some paper walls. We're now on the field. We've got to be a witness. Father, I thank you. Thank you, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Wash away our fear. Give us your strength, oh Jesus. You, faithful witness, you've been there from the beginning. You lived the life we couldn't live. You walked in obedience to your Father's will. And that was that we would be redeemed. Redeemed by your blood shed on Calvary. Forgive us, Lord God, for stepping back when we should be stepping forward. We received the calling. We will be a witness. We lay down our lives. Lord God, there's so many things we've tried to hold on to for ourselves, but we lay down our lives. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're going to all stand up now. Music ministry is going to play. But I just want to invite you to come up and just pray with us. If you've been struggling with the fear, you've been really struggling with the fear to just open up your mouth and to share Jesus. and you just feel like you don't have the strength. It's like, you know, like I shared earlier, it's like you take off on a sprint, you run out, and already it's like you ran out of gas. This is a long endurance run that we're in. And if you need to just come up here and just get before the Lord and just say, I'm struggling with the fear to open up my mouth and be a witness. It's easy for me to worship. It's really hard for me to be a witness. I want you to come up here. If you're feeling really weak in this, Jesus will give you strength today. Because this is the witness that dwells within you. Come forward. Praise God. Could you just lift your hands with me? We surrender to you. Lord, we say, just as Paul said, no longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside of me. Live, Lord God, reign. Take complete dominion within me. We surrender all. We surrender all. And we say yes to you. We say yes to the call. We say yes, Lord God, we will be your witnesses. We say yes, Lord God, we will open up our mouths and speak out. We say yes to you, Lord God, we will have a testimony. We say yes, Lord God, we will walk victorious, Lord Jesus. We will shine our light. We will let the world know, Lord God, that you are a God of love. We will let the world know that the only freedom comes from you, Lord Jesus Christ. We will say it, we will speak it, we'll shout it. We will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We surrender. We say yes to you, oh Lord God. We recognize, Lord God, that the harvest is ripe. And we hear in your word that the laborers are few. Well, here we are, the few of us. We say yes. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We give you all the glory and the honor, Lord God. I thank you for those that have stepped forward this afternoon, Lord God. Strengthen them. Wash away all fear. Put a song of victory in their heart that they would know, Lord God, that Jesus Christ, you yourself, dwells within them as living water flowing through their heart. Thank you, God. We'll not thirst again. Thank you for your well of salvation. In your name I pray. Amen.